I was in Washington, D.C. To attend the Academy of Catholic Theology meeting. Our general topic was the Trinity, and they asked me to give a paper. So I chose as my topic one of my great theological heroes, St. Irenaeus of Lyon. St. Irenaeus was one of the most important and one of the earliest of the Church Fathers. He was born probably around the year 120 or 125 on the coast of present-day Turkey. It was Asia Minor in those days. He was a disciple of St. Polycarp, who in turn had been a disciple of John the Evangelist. So Irenaeus is very close to apostolic times. He wandered eventually out of the east to Rome and then up to Lyon in present-day southern France. He became the Bishop of Lyon after the previous bishop had been martyred. And most likely Irenaeus himself was martyred around the year 200. To give you a sense of the time, he would have been flourishing and writing at the same time as the Emperor Marcus Aurelius and the Emperor Commodus. So in the movie Gladiator, that would have been exactly the era of St. Irenaeus. But what I took as my topic in the paper is what I think is the master idea in Irenaeus, and it's this: God does not need us. Now, I realize that at first blush can seem rather off-putting, like, well, that's good news. Actually, it's remarkably good news. And Irenaeus seeing it was a very important moment in the development of Christian theology. Keep in mind, St. Irenaeus was living at a time when classical mythological religion was in vogue. He knew all about the Roman gods and goddesses who desperately needed us. What I mean is, they needed our sacrifices, they needed our praise. Well, see, the gods who need us eventually will abuse us. They will eventually manipulate us for their purposes. The gods who need us are the ones who will punish us arbitrarily, who will be very upset when we don't honor them sufficiently, etc. What Irenaeus saw was, the God of the Bible is not like that. The God who made everything out of nothing does not need anything from the world. And see, what that means is that God's relationship to the world is one of total love. As I've said a million times in homilies and I've written about it, love is not primarily a feeling or an emotion. We look at it that way. We tend to sentimentalize love. But love is an act of the will. To love is to will the good of the other as other. Not to draw the other into my little world, which is what we usually do. So I say, well, I'll be kind to you that you might be kind to me. I'll be good to you that you might be just to me in return. Well, that isn't love. That's just indirect egotism, see? But the God who doesn't need anything can only love the world. That means whatever God wills is for the sake of the world, not for his own sake. That's why Irenaeus, one of the first theologians to talk about creation from nothing. Well, it's the same idea, really. If God doesn't need anything to create, that means the entire act of creation is an act of generous love. Okay. I would argue that all of Irenaeus' theology flows from this basic insight. Why does God create? Not out of need, but God creates so as to share his love generously with the world and to give other things a chance to participate in his own manner of being. He loves the image of God, the artist. So God makes the world the way an artist creates a canvas. With all this variety, all this color, all this diversity, it's like a great mosaic or a great painting, or another of his metaphors, like a great symphony composed by a composer using all these different sounds. That's how and why God creates, to manifest his beauty and to give the world a share in his own goodness. Now, at the summit of God's physical creation is the human being, who, like all things, is a reflection of God's goodness, but there's even more. Because the human being is given the opportunity to share in God's manner of loving, to love God in return, and to love his neighbor. Does God need this? No, God needs nothing. Does God need our moral excellence? No. Is God desperately affected when we don't love? No, that's not the game. That's a pagan game. God wants us to love so that we might participate in his manner of being. And that's why, in the fourth book of Irenaeus' great masterpiece called The Adversus Heresis, which just means against the heresies, he says this: the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And that's the linchpin, that's the cornerstone, that's the hinge for all of Irenaeus' theology. The glory of God is not a human being in submission, not a human being doing what he's told. That's more of a pagan idea. The glory of God is a human being fully alive, because God delights in our sharing in his goodness. Well, see, that opens up a whole different spiritual game. That opens up a whole different spiritual world of how we learn to relate to God.